Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You thought we were dead and then somebody did some magic and we've sat bolt upright. It's the Box Set Pod. Nice to have you with us. I'm Howell, this is Jamie.
Why did anyone think we were dead?
Nobody really did. I'm referring to something that happened this week.
Oh,
and don't mention it because it's a spoiler. Don't mention it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Unbelievable.
Took you a while there. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. What have you been watching this week, Jay? Oh, on tonight's podcast, by the way, we're going to be talking about Orange is the New Black, which is a great show, obviously. Maybe you're late to the party on that one. Well, we're going to try and find reasons for you to watch it. And we're going to have at least one guinea pig who hasn't watched it and needs to talk about it. So let's talk about Orange is the New Black in a bit. We'll have others joining us too. As usual, you have me and Jamie first. What have you been watching this week, Jamie?
I want to big up a show that I've only just got into it. And I remember Marsha, who's on tonight's pod, has mentioned it in the past.
Thomas the Tank.
It's called Man Seeking Woman. Have you heard of this, Howell?
Yes.
It's really, really funny. It's a very, very funny show. One of the producers is Lorne Michaels, who's from SNL, the creator of Saturday Night Live.
I think we all know who Lorne Michaels is, thanks.
You'd be surprised, Howell.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant comedy, only like 20-minute episodes. It's basically like, it sort of dissects, it takes the mickey out of the romantic comedy drama, comedy sort of cliches, and does so in an exaggerated sort of hyper-reality fashion. It's like, it's just really, really cleverly done. Like, there's an episode I just watched where basically it does it from the female side as well, so it's woman-seeking man, and one of the character's sisters is looking for a new man, and then she ends up in a cliche situation where she ends up seeing a man who's in a relationship. He's a married man. But the twist on it is that the married man is Father Christmas, and he's married to Mrs. Christmas, and he's cheating on Mrs. Christmas. It's just like that. They're like, it's really, really funny. It's
like
really
it.
Well done. But I looked at a lot of the reviews of it, and a lot of the ratings, and it's actually quite, like, it's quite low, the ratings. Like, I'm surprised it's not more popular and more sort of lauded critically, but it is. But it's very good. And I've been watching Game of Thrones as well, which is amazing.
I'm up to date with that series. Oh, God, it's good. But it is, you know, what is... I hadn't thought about it much until Marsha mentioned it recently, but, you know, the sexism, the role that females play in that series is truly... It's beyond like, oh, it's medieval relationships. I mean, it really is. They're just constantly talking about, like, bad words for women's parts, women being locked up and rape. And
yeah.
I mean, it is so goddamn sexist. It's unbelievable.
I guess I haven't really thought about it a lot.
But I can see
the point.
I suppose it does. But then, you know... the dwarf Tyrion, there's no dwarf jokes in there, and it's kind of like it's a really forward-thinking, progressive series in the use of Tyrion, and yet with everything else, it kind of shocks, it goes for the taboo or shocks to the extreme, doesn't it, in every other sort of thing. It's like somebody walks down an alley, and there's a big man in a suit of armour stuck behind him, and you go, that suit of armour guy looks threatening. I think he's going to do something horrendous to this guy down the alley. And sure enough, he does something truly horrendous to that guy down the alley. You know what I mean? It's shocking all round, is what I'm saying. I'm saying it's shocking all round.
Well,
but is it unfairly shocking in a sexist way? That's my
question. Yeah, I get you, but there are characters like Brienne of Tarth, who is a warrior knight woman who protects characters in the show, won't reveal who. But I mean, she's a major sort of defining female character that breaks the norms and traditions of a female character, does she not?
She does. But every other woman in it... No, I'm lying. Not every other woman in it. I think a lot of the female characters are really good. I think it's the casual stuff. It's not the main parts.
I know what you mean. Yeah, the casual joking is very aimed at the female anatomy rather than the male.
Like the guys on the horse at the beginning of this series. Well, what's her name? Dragon Queen's walking next to them.
Subtitles.
Pretty offensive.
One of my things with Game of Thrones is I really love all the plots at the moment. Like, I like the plots going on with Daenerys. I like the plots. I love the dragon stuff. I love the plots going on at the wall. Mm. I love the stuff going at Winterfell.
Yeah.
I'm just not getting enough of anything. It's like I'm getting a taste of... Yeah. It's like I'm at a crap buffet where you're just getting the shitty ends of all these wonderful buffet meals. Sometimes you want a lot more.
You want to binge on the sausage rolls, don't you, sometimes?
It's yes.
I thought that the last episode, this last episode, which is season 5, episode 2, I think.
Season 6,
episode 2. I did spend a bit longer on stuff, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. But I'd like them to just, you know what, one episode maybe, just dive into a couple of stories, take two of those stories, half an hour on each, bang it, you know, get right into the nitty gritty. Because I don't like just going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Right, now you do a bit, now you do your turn. And as much as they're good at doing that, I want to really just get my fill. I'm not getting my fill. And I understand that maybe they're trying to stall things, slow the plot
down. No, I don't
think
they're trying to stall it. I just think that there is so much going on that when you have to wait week by week to watch stuff, it's a lot more painful. Whereas when you binge it, that's fine. It's like watching a really long film, so it's quite nice. Of course, our algorithm department, Ben, won't watch Game of Thrones. I mean, he started it on here, but he just thinks it's silly. And I do think he's missing out, but let's see where Game of Thrones comes in the chart that he compiles
in
of
the
all of the downloads, both legal and illegal, around the world. At number 10, Homeland. Excellent. At number 9, how come Homeland's back in there at number 10? Is there a new series?
There isn't not out yet, but that is unusual.
Number 9 is Doctor Who. Number 8 is The Good Wife. Number 7 is Suits. Good Wife is on his last series, by the way. And
yeah, I know. I watched one of the... It's actually getting good again. Like, now...
It's not getting good.
Just as they start... No. It's just as they start to end it, though. They have like, actually got some interesting plots going on at the moment,
I know.
Finally.
I'm like, Jesus, you know, there's so much potential with that thing. And yet they seem to always steer back to the same 7 plots, the same 7 cases keep coming around. You know? Suits isn't number 7, need to crack on with that. Number 6 is Outlander, need to watch. Number
Hearing
5,
good things.
Fear the Walking Dead, new season.
Hearing amazing things about series 2 of that. Series 1 I gave a little bit of a go and didn't really get into, but I'm hearing that it gets really good season 2. So, worth a check.
I didn't realise that it was a separate thing from The Walking Dead.
Oh, dear.
Number 4, Downton Abbey. Won't die. Number 3, Line of Duty. Great finale, says Ben. Number 2, The Night Manager, which Ben jibes at and saying, will he fix the till roll? Is the compactor jammed? And will he swap Yusuf's Wednesday shift for a half Saturday? And number 1 is... Game of Thrones.
Of course it is. Awesome.
Deserved.
It's
time for some news. I think other people are going to start to join us.
All right, well, I'll throw in. It's only a couple of little bits of news I want to bring up this week so far. Interesting, we were talking about Watership Down the other week being complained about on TV because it's a bloody violence fest.
Watership Down is... pointless without the violence. Are you about to tell me the news that the BBC apparently has cut out all of the scary bits in their new series of The Watership Down?
Well, no. I mean, you're right. BBC are working with Netflix to create a new adaptation of The Watership Down novel.
And apparently they are removing the bad bits.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
What's the point?
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. It's a big part of the novel. It's a big part of the original adaptation.
And trust me, as a owner of a rabbit business, it's a big part of rabbit life.
Oh, yeah. Howell's got rabbits, you know, rutting away all day, haven't you?
Brutal. They can be beautiful and lovely, but they're brutal as well. If you remove the brutal bit, what have you got? You've got a soppy Simon and Garfunkel song. That's it.
Yeah, that. It's a four-part mini-series they're going to do when they've got an incredible cast lined up, including John Boyega from The Force Awakens, you know, the new Star Wars films. He plays, what's his name? Yeah. Can't remember now. Sir Ben Kingsley, James McAvoy, Gemma Arterton from Quantum of Solace. So it's a really, really good voice cast lined up for this new animation. Four-part mini-series. I hope you're bloody wrong, Howell, because the brutality... the massive part of that, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, what is life without the drama? You know,
life is violent.
If you're not crying, what's the point?
And you know what the thing is, like, okay, animated. Is the idea if it's animated, you can't have graphic violence unless you're making a Japanese manga film. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Tell you what, I watched this week the full series of F is for Family on Netflix.
Wow. Good, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
Really good.
We need to do that on this podcast at some point. But F is for Family, talking of offensive animation. What else is going on in the news?
Sly Stallone is going to TV land, and he's going to be a gangster. So he's working on Antoine Fuqua. You might know him from the director of Training Day, one of my favourite films ever made.
Fuqua.
Brilliant film. And he's working on a TV adaptation of the Mario Puzo novel, A Murder. A Murder was the last book written by Mario Puzo, who did The Godfather Howl.
Yeah.
He's got creds. He died, and this book, he finished it, but he hadn't released it, but his estate released it. Mm. Now it's being made into a TV show. It's going to be the story of an adopted son of a mafia don. That could be played by Sly Stallone and his rise to the top, his struggle to claim his destiny. Sly Stallone is to play a major role in it. Good to see him getting into the TV.
But whenever you mention someone like Ben Kingsley or Sly Stallone, whenever you mention older actors now, I always think, will they be dead by the time this podcast goes out?
I know.
That's what I think now. It's like... It's
bingo at the moment, celebrity bingo. I mean, I can't believe Bruce Forsyth is still here in these circumstances. I just want to say, Jamie, I really hope nothing happens now.
Well, yeah, I think something might. I mean, he didn't come over for Ronnie Corbett's funeral and stuff. So,
you know what? My big worry is Sir David Attenborough. I worry about him at least twice a day. I think about David Attenborough, about his health, and I know that he's kept himself vibrant over the years, but I genuinely worry about him on a regular basis.
It's going to be a big moment for you when he goes, isn't it?
It's going to be huge.
Mm. Let's get a couple more bods on the podcast. Have you finished the news yet?
Done. Go to find out more at theboxsetpod.com/news.
Now let's welcome to the podcast three human beings. One of them is barely a human being. Young whippersnapper Jack Boardman. Hi, Jack.
Howdy, how are we?
There he is, good. Are you at university in Leeds?
Back in Lancaster.
Back in Lancaster, the land of floods and hills. And joining us from Canada, from Canada, she's back. It's been a while, she's been skiving. It's Marsha Shandur.
It's me, I'm back.
It's nice to have you back.
I've been working really hard.
Whatever. and joining us from London, you can hear him chewing something with his mouth, I believe.
Oh, no.
What are you chewing?
I haven't started well. No, I didn't. I wasn't chewing anything. I was just...
You're just chewing your gums?
Yeah, you know. And I was... it's not going to... Look, you know what? Regardless of what I say, it doesn't sound good.
What were you going to say?
I was licking my fingers.
Whenever Marsha and Matt are on together, Matt does something that makes him appear totally creepy to Marsha. So we're starting as we mean to go on. All of these people are qualified in some way to be here and talk about TV, but well, not really Jack, and he always ends up being the guinea pig, and he is going to be tonight because we're going to be talking about Orange is the New Black, and I think I'm right in saying, well, there's Marsha's response, so she's seen it. Matt Wandless, how much have you watched of Orange is the New Black?
2.5 series.
Oh, 2.5. Marsha, I take it you're completely up to date.
I'm completely up to date, and it's interesting that Matt watched 2.5 because I took a pause halfway through the third one, but I came back and I'm jolly glad I did.
I am with you on that as well. But Jack, how much have you watched?
1.5 episodes.
1.5. Wow. What's with the 0.5, Jack?
Well, I was halfway through finishing it off and then you rang me, so.
Okay. So, let's first of all get the summary from Jack. For anyone who hasn't seen Orange is the New Black so far, what can you tell us it's about?
Middle class. Am I right in saying that? Or
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Middle class lady goes to prison for a crime that she committed 10, 20 years ago. And she just got engaged from the guy who's an American Pie who I cannot stand. I really, really don't like him.
Jason Biggs.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. And now we're having flashbacks of her previous life and seeing her being broken in by the prison.
Okay. So she's sort of checked herself into that prison, hasn't she? She's opted for it.
Yeah.
We're getting a little bit of echo coming back. Stop now, it's fine. Okay, good. Where does this sit? What's the life of this, Jamie? This was a Netflix-only show, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it comes from an original sort of novel written by a lady called Piper Kerman, who's the main character is based on. It was developed by Genji Kohan, and if you've watched the TV show Weeds, has anyone been a Weeds fan?
I saw a couple of episodes at the beginning. It's Amy from the West Wing.
It certainly is. I watched the first episode.
Yeah, me too. Didn't go any further.
Yeah, it was quite a big show. I mean, it was a comedy drama, sort of early 2000s, went on for a good few years, had about seven series. And this is her latest project. It's 3 to 4 seasons in, but it's actually been commissioned, Orange is the New Black, for 7 series already.
Yes!
What? That's nonsense.
That is insane.
No, that's nonsense.
No, it's true, Howell.
true. Where did you get that
Howell
from?
Sounding genuinely incensed there.
But where did you get that information from? Your mum?
I got it from...
Because Jamie's mum has given him a lot of nonsense over the years that she's read in magazines.
My mum's told me nothing about Orange is the New Black. She only ever talks about the next door neighbours, Howell.
Tell me your source.
My source is IMDb, Howell.
Well,
IMDb.
All I saw on IMDb.
Reputable internet site, IMDb.
All I saw on both IMDb and Wikipedia is that the fourth season is due
nice to
come out.
It's nice to know how deep you guys go with your research.
Get the fuck out. As if anyone goes any deeper than that.
I've got an IMDb pro account, mister.
Fuck me.
This time last year, last April 2015, like 3 days before season 3 was announced, Netflix announced that it was commissioning season 4. So that's what I read everywhere, but apparently they've signed up for three more series.
It's commissioned. I've got it on word on the street is that 7 series have been commissioned.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised because it's massively successful. It's an award-winning show. It's won Golden Globes and it's won Emmys, and it's a very popular show. No one's quite sure if it's a comedy or a drama, but I think that's one of its big strengths.
Yeah, but I think even Marsha would admit that it's hard to imagine them stretching it out for another 3 series.
I thought that until the end of season 3.
Ah, yes.
And now I'm like dying for the next season.
Well,
dying.
Let's get to that. Let's first of all find out Jack's first opinions, first impressions, Jack.
I quite like it. It's funny that you should say that it's hard to differentiate between a comedy and a drama because I've spent so far trying to work out what it actually is. I do like it. But after finishing House of Cards, I'm not sure if it'll fit the sort of gape that has been left in my life after finishing that.
It's like I was saying last week about Kimmy Schmidt Arrested Development. It's like Kimmy I love it so much, and Arrested Development feels a bit thin on the ground. I can see what you mean, but they are very different things.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'll definitely give it a go. I'll probably watch the first season. The way it gives the flashbacks, and we're sort of learning of her past life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of hooking me in at the moment. But we'll see. I don't know how... You know, I've only watched an episode and a half, and already 7 seasons just seems a bit ridiculous.
It does. Matt's, Jack's not entirely moved. Before we get Marsha and Jamie's response to that, let's find out why Matt stopped 2.5 series in. Do you think that the petrol ran out in the tank?
Yeah, pretty much exactly what we've been talking about, really. I just got fed up with it. And I thought it fell into the Scrubs pit.
Whoa. Scrubs.
I don't know if I've explained this before, but I really enjoyed the first 2 series of Scrubs. And then in the 3rd series, suddenly it just became this different show. And I kind of felt the same way about this, to a lesser extent. Like the transformation wasn't as dramatic. But I think the first series of Orange is the New Black is really good. And I remember my wife and I were really excited by it because we were both enjoying it so much. And then our excitement started to wane as the 2nd season went on. And then when the 3rd season came back, we were like, oh, yeah, this is back again. This is good. I think we watched maybe 4 or 5 in the 3rd series before we gave up. It was just, there was too much wackiness going on.
I have a theory as to what went wrong, but I will come to that. Marsha, what have you got to say?
So Matt, exactly the same thing happened with me. Like, loved series 1. Series 2, I was like, this is great. And it kind of flagged a little towards the end. Came back season 3, super excited. I feel like really enjoyed the first episode. And then after that, it just started feeling like a slog. And I stopped, and I actually was watching it with my TV buddy, and he gave up on it. And then I didn't have anything else to watch. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to it. A couple of episodes, it felt like when you watch Scrubs or something, like a later season, and it's just because you're too lazy to really find anything else. You know, it's just like chewing gum for the brain. And then suddenly the last few episodes of season 3, I think you're right that it got like a bit wacky, and I feel like it lent way too much on the comedy but wasn't funny enough to back it up.
Yeah.
And then just at the end of season 3, they bring the drama back in, and the final episode of season 3 was one of the best episodes of TV I've ever watched in my life.
It's great.
Oh my god, I was like practically running around my flat cheering at the end of it.
It was great. So, but Marsh, do you not think that it went from the from the possible to the very much impossible?
Kind of, but I feel like they kept it just about within. There's like a big set piece that's kind of silly, but at the same time, I feel like they did it in this way where I bought into it. And then what I thought was so majestic about that last episode is that they, this is so hard without spoilers, but they basically, there was like 5 or 6 different things that made you go, oh my God, I have to see the next episode. Or like, there was so many things happening to characters who were completely unaware of it, that you would watch the scene between these two characters and think, my God, you do not even know what's in for you, and I do, and you're going to have a terrible time. But really, really compelling. I just thought, like, and I feel like what happened with Piper's story arc was like, had gone really... Yeah. For a while, and it just was brilliant. And I feel, I am stoked for the next season.
I think, I think a big problem perhaps was if this was a series, there's a big problem in that the bloke quit, right? Now, if this was a series, I'm not being sexist there, Marsha.
What bloke? Which bloke?
Jason Biggs quit after season 2.
Did he? But yeah. I'm with Matt. I'm not his biggest fan. I mean, with Jamie.
No, I'm not his biggest fan. But
Jack.
The driving force of the drama was about, you know, it was pinned down by what is the relationship going to be when she gets out of prison, or what is the effect on this? Yeah, that was the strain. That was the underpinning of it. And if it was an all, you know, it's pretty much an all-female cast with him as the sort of the boyfriend, and that was where it began. And if it was the other way around, if it was all males with one female, and the question was the same thing, and then that actress didn't sign on again, I think you are left with a big hole.
No, but I think what I found what the beauty of it was that they started making more of the other characters, which is kind of what they had to do.
That's fine.
It can't just be all no, because also she, up until recently, was quite boring.
Well, they do have to. No, they do have to do that. But remember, this is based in a true story, and this is based in Piper Kerman's actual story, and she's with her husband now. So there was clearly that is the sort of through line of the plot, which then, of course, you can take a back seat for. You can give that a back seat and allow the other characters to come out more. But I felt like removing that main plot and bringing the other characters out more, it just became a little bit too much. Like, well, what's the point here? We're seeing some great characters, but they're not actually very threatening anymore because we're just learning to understand them all. Hmm. The stakes have gone, and the main plot has gone. What are we left with? And I think that's why people like Matt and you and I lost a bit of interest, and then it does pick up again towards the end because they find a new plot, don't they, that's related to the knickers.
Yeah.
Surely they should have wrapped that storyline up at the end of series two then, if that was going to be the case, if they knew they didn't have him in contract.
They sort of did, they did a little bit, didn't they? Or they
they did, but if they wanted that to be the overarching narrative that she ends up back with her with her husband on the outside. Then I think given what went on and how much of a marginal character she became, they should have wrapped up Piper's story in series two.
Mm. Yeah, in a way, I agree. I think the problem is Piper is our way into this world, and so
yes,
once we lose her as our anchor, that's it's fine because if you've got a very strong supporting cast, but then you're left sort of Piper becomes this almost background character.
Yeah, it's like a rogues gallery, and she's just another one.
Yeah,
and then
that bothered me actually. Bothered me that it was like, well, I thought I knew this character. I thought this character was my kind of Sherpa through this journey.
Yeah,
and now she's gone.
Jamie, did you watch all the to the end of season three?
Yes, I did.
And how do you feel? How do you feel about our Sherpa now?
I thought it was very good.
Curious. That sounded really accusatory, but no, you always have such interesting points of view on things that I want to know what you thought.
He'll self-explode if you actually say that to him. He won't be able to communicate now. Just going to sing some Lionel Richie.
British, sorry. I live in a different country now. Jamie.
I really liked the last episode. I thought it was amazing. Like, and I thought that it was kind of what I wanted everything the rest of the series to be like. You know, it was just sort of, it's kind of like a little bit surreal, but it worked, and her journey got interesting, but it was it too late to care enough anymore? Oof. And like, because I thought season two was brilliant. Like, for me, that was the best series, because I thought the characters really interesting. I love the tension in the prison of these two kind of like warring kingpin women, and it really worked for me. But I did feel like, you're right in a way, Matt, maybe they needed to just remove Piper from the whole show and just say to us, right, it's not about her anymore. It's about this.
Oh, I'd really miss her, though.
I think this is a world, you know, most of us watching this haven't had those experiences. And so we kind of need the, like, you know, whatever,
the middle class white girl. Yeah.
Girl who's never been in trouble before, to go in there to kind of be our interpreter. So even as her character changes, what we're doing is we're constantly being like, would that happen to me? Would that happen to me? Would that happen to me?
Yeah.
Like, would I start behaving the way that she's behaving? And so I think that's such an insightful thing, that she needs to be our Sherpa. I think that's brilliant.
But do you think the drama relies on fear, though? I mean, if we have to sustain that, couldn't one of the problems of the show be that when you begin basically a character study into every character, where we learn why they have become the way they are, you make everybody nice. You empathise and you like everyone, which levels the playing field, and you actually lose some stakes and some drama.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's what they did. But by giving everyone these sort of slightly misunderstood and these sort of twisted angle backdrops to their personality, and not making anyone just a criminal,
Some people are shitbags. Some people genuinely are shitbags. They've made those choices.
Exactly. Yeah, and also everyone else in the show was very two dimensional. Whereas Piper was clearly, you know, obviously she's the subject material for the whole thing, so she was going to be much more rounded out, and her backstory and the whole plot with Alex was much more well thought out. And the fact, and it's what you're saying, Jamie, that when she fell into the background, suddenly you realise that you're left with all these very skin deep, kind of archetypical characters. And I didn't find the warring kingpins thing in season two good at all, because I didn't like Dee in the slightest. Mm. I thought she was unbelievable, and I thought the way she sort of brought the band back together was really trite.
Mm. I felt that way for some of it, but I think the way that she manipulated the main girl who had been a sort of mother, if you like, been her
daughter. God, I hated that. I think the way the way Crazy Eyes has developed, like, she was really interesting in the first series.
Mm. And then
by the third series, she was my Zach Braff. She was like the worst one. She'd just gone completely to the point where I couldn't stand watching her.
Yeah, Marsha, Zach Braff, Crazy Eyes.
So, Crazy Eyes, I just, that's the character I have a real trouble with, particularly because I find the acting, she keeps winning awards for best actress, and I keep thinking it's like sixth form drama. Like, it's so, to me, it's so...
I'm like, playing a crazy person.
Look at me, I am so crazy. I waggled my hands in a crazy way. Like, it really...
Sometimes I rub my head. So,
a lot of people who are crazy really do behave like that. I mean, you've never met Jamie's family, but I can guarantee if you did.
I just found it very ABC obvious. And actually, I found her character arc in series three, and I can't remember, Matt, if this is towards the end, but actually I've sort of enjoyed that a bit more, of them actually humanizing her a bit more and making her a bit less two-dimensional. But I think it's interesting what you say about the two-dimensional. I think you're absolutely right that when we like everyone, and I, you know, I believe that people just lack empathy or whatever, or were misunderstood, and so I can see those stories in everyone. But
I'm not saying that not all babies are born equal. I do agree with that. I do agree with that. But some people have done something that involved a decision which is so horrific and horrendous to other people that we don't need an empathetic, tearful moment to understand them.
And you just need a bit of ambiguity, because they do it very well with
that's
Piper,
it.
Actually.
Ambiguity.
There are points with Piper's storyline where you're like, you're a bit of a prick.
Yes.
And they toe that line very nicely. And in fact, a lot of the shows that we've talked about most fondly have those characters who do bad things, but you still like them. Yeah. And they don't need to have an altruistic motive for the bad things that they do for you to still be on their side.
I felt like that especially towards the end of season three. I felt like they really were like filling out some of the other characters. I was really starting to care about the other characters' storylines, ones that I hadn't before. And then also I feel like they really had that exact thing with some of the other characters that, you know, characters who get in fights with each other and discover that they're wrong. And there isn't a moment where they walk up and say, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake. They just keep their mouth shut and the fight keeps on going. And so... And
that's
I feel
right,
like
but
that's
we course. Have to like, but we understand them all. That's my problem. Is that we?
No, but I think I feel like that they show ones where we now like them because we know them, but actually they're acting like dicks, and we see them doing that in the way.
Yeah,
that,
you're
like,
right. Yeah,
they do. Humans are flawed.
They do a bit. I think I just totally miss the Piper. I really do miss the Piper perspective. The thing. I feel like you could have stretched seven series out. Retaining that idea of peering out from behind a bunk, terrified, you could stretch that out for a long time and still expose these characters and things. I just wonder whether the removal of Jason Biggs is the driving force of leaving that original story.
I absolutely don't think it is. And I think also just knowing a little bit about, what's her real name?
Piper Kerman.
That is her real name. Yeah, knowing like a little bit about a story, having like I listened to the story. She did a story on the moth, and I've read some of the stuff. And one of the things was that everybody said don't speak to anyone, don't make any friends, everyone in there is terrible. Mm. And so she did that for the first, whatever it was, 6 months or a year. And then she started to not do that. And she was like, oh, these people are human beings. And I feel like actually that's just more realistic of what life is. Can I just talk a bit about the show from my activist perspective?
Oh, Christ.
No, go on.
Here we go.
Because it's something that I've talked about a lot with the activists of, like, what do people think of this show? And
before you do, because I don't want Jack to feel emotionally blackmailed into watching it. Jack, this conversation presumably doesn't actually spur you on to carry on watching.
Not really. I think the only thing that was going to spur me on to watch it was seeing it through Piper's perspective, sort of seeing how the others are, you know, in the prison as she's come into that. And now you've said about season three and it sort of drops, you know.
But the end is so good.
It is worth it. Truth is, me and Sarah looked at each other on that last episode of season three, and we did say, if only the rest of it had been like that. But, Jack, when the next season lands, I'll be watching every episode. Jamie?
I do, and I don't. I think you should stick with it, Jack. I think what it is, I think they consciously changed what kind of a show it was. I think it was a show that was about this heightened environment, and there was that danger element of this woman in this horrible sort of hostile world. I think they've changed it, and I feel like season three, that they changed what kind of a show it was, and it became more lighthearted and more of a comedy in some ways. And more of like a situational comedy than it was a drama. And I think that change isn't a bad thing. It's just that it's hard to get used to that change happening and adjust to the new show you're watching in some respects.
Yeah,
but I feel like they did that, and then towards the end of the season, they were like, oh no, our mistake. Let's actually just make it really exciting.
Exciting, though. I mean, it terrible. Becomes quite Hollywood in the plot, I think. I think it leaves the realm of possibility. I'll be amazed if that happened. If what happens in it actually happened, I'll be amazed. And wonderful, because the whole 50% of my fascination and drive watching that first series was knowing that this stuff happened. And I think
that's the thing. That's what I was going to say about my activist issues is that, like, the one issue with it is that it makes prison look super fun. And like this fun prison, like this fun summer camp.
Do you think?
Like, oh, they're not allowed outside, but mostly it makes it look really fun. And I think actually it can be a totally terrifying place, but also from what I know from things I've read over the years and
your time
biographies
in prison.
I've read over the years of my time in prison is that it's not, it can be terrifying in terms of the other guards, which we see a little bit.
In terms of the other what, Marcia? We just lost you for a second.
It's the guards really make it a terrible, terrible place. I read a book once called Forget You Had a Daughter about a girl who'd spent time in the Bangkok Hilton. And then after years, she managed to get transferred to a prison. Interestingly, the one that Rose West was in, in the UK. And she said the time, you know, when she was in Thailand, she had to sleep in like a 2-foot by 2-foot square space that she had to crouch in. They had to like wash in dirty water. Her eyesight got all messed up because she didn't have enough vitamins. And so when she found out she was getting transferred to Britain, but she says it was a million times worse because of the cruelty of the guards. Like it was the psychological and physical cruelty of the guards was just horrific. And I feel like that is not... That does not come across.
I don't watch it and think that looks like a fun place to be, even when the characters get ridiculous. Like the guards,
no, but it's not Shawshank, is it?
It's not Shawshank, no. No, it's not.
It's not super
cool. But it's kind of creepier than that. The guards, above all, the guards are portrayed as creepy. Either corrupt or seedy.
They're not like psychological punishing fuckers for the most part. I feel like they're either like, wah, wah, porn star, she's really creepy. Or, you know what I mean? I feel like they're not evil in a way that I think people in those positions of power often are, and that's a thing.
But you know what though? That's why this is a comedy rather than a tragedy, though. You know, in Shakespeare's sense, we've talked about comedy and drama, but in that Shakespeare way where comedy... is anything that is it doesn't involve someone dying at the end. It's not necessarily a laugh a minute, but it's the lighter.
But
the lighter
the
stuff.
That you want to get like an eye into what it's actually like.
Yeah,
you're not
you
going
to no.
You don't get that. But I just wanted to say, in defense of this show, that's like my only activist issue, but massive, like overwhelmingly female cast and overwhelmingly people of color cast is like quadruple thumbs up. That's so awesome. I only have two thumbs, but I'm expecting two of yours. Just so.
Now, why do we say people of color?
Why do we say people of color? Because that includes black people, Hispanic people, Asian people.
Is white not a colour? When we say of colour, doesn't that mean different from us, which is inherently racist?
Danger,
No, it's like the widely accepted phrase.
I know,
like
I don't have to accept it.
Call me queer, but 20 years ago you couldn't call me queer. It would be really offensive. Like, it's just whatever happens, sometimes it's the widely accepted phrase. The queers have reclaimed queer, and so now you can use it. But
have the people of color accepted
like the thing?
People of color. It seems.
Yeah, I feel like it's just the thing that you say. You know, it's like saying you say mixed race now, but when we were kids, we would say half caste, and now that's really racist. Like, there are certain words and phrases that are just like, it's kind of like everyone agrees, like, okay, we can use this word now.
Well, I don't agree with that one. Like, I'm going to be the first to move on from people of color. I don't like it.
As a white, straight, able bodied man, I think you have a lot of
danger. Danger.
I am going to say.
Also, women should stay in the home.
I'm going to say Orange is the New Black is an excellent Jamie. Cast of actors who are superb. That is what I'm going to say.
I'm not disputing that for a second. I'm saying that there's very few shows. On
wonderful
TV.
The way you're trying to scrabble onto the high ground here.
There's very few shows on TV that have overwhelmingly female cast, and there are very, very few shows on TV that have cast that are both overwhelmingly female and overwhelmingly people of color.
Overwhelmingly.
And so for one to be majority.
I'll tell you what else is overwhelmingly female. Mentioned it last week, Kimmy Schmidt, and it's a lot better than Orange is the New Black. That's what I would say.
I feel like we're definitely not. Jack, you're not going to watch it, are you? You're not going to watch.
You know what, Jack, at least watch the first series, because the first series is really good, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Marsha says the second one too, but we definitely all agree that the first season is worth watching. Even if you don't go any further, you're not gonna miss out. At the end of the first season, it's brilliant.
I thought the end. Well, you know, but the stuff that the thing is, the things they leave on a cliffhanger at the end of the first series, you can forget about. They're not worth bothering with, I think.
Matt,
well, I've put off watching it for so long because I didn't think it would be for me, and now. I feel like I'm at a point where I need something to binge watch.
Yeah.
And this is the only thing that.
Have you done Kimmy 2 yet, Jack?
I'm halfway through it.
Have you, Marsha?
I haven't yet.
You have done the first series, though, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh my God, in one go.
It's so good. And there's people of colour in it as well.
Amazing. And
danger.
Matt, I
so
would also
dangerous.
Matt Wondus, I love that Matt's our alarm.
Matt, why do you think that?
Husky voice.
What's Matt? Why does Matt think that people of colour are dangerous?
No, he's just saying. Matt, I would urge you to stick to the end of series three. I feel like you'll be really glad you did.
You may as well. You've only got about four episodes to go, or whatever.
I know, but I have so little. I have so little time to watch stuff anyway. I'm into Better Call Saul right now. So, thank you for this show, by the way. That is a box set pod win right there.
It's brilliant.
Oh, I wasn't going to watch that show.
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm glad that you are, and it's superb.
And I definitely think it's better than Breaking Bad.
Wow. Big claim. Marsha, how's West Wing coming along, Marsh?
Oh, it's not.
Been watching it again today myself. Brilliant.
Have you?
Absolutely brilliant.
I'm sorry. I'll break my leg at some point and then I'll watch it. But Game of Thrones started again and Man Seeking Woman. I'm like going back through.
I wanted to mention, Marsha. Marsh, yes. I'm loving Man-Seeking Woman. Is yes! one of the best, most underrated comedies I've ever watched. It's just brilliant. Yes! It's
amazing.
Brilliant.
Jamie, I'm so excited. How much have you watched?
I'm up to season two.
Oh, Jamie, well done. I'm just started it and I'm enjoying it.
Bloody brilliant, isn't it?
It's so good. Like,
is this on Netflix?
No.
No, it's on something here called Show Me, but I don't know if you guys can.
It will be available on Amazon, Howell.
Oh, yeah. How are you watching it, Jamie?
Amazon.
They just got commissioned for a third season.
A live stream from the Amazon.
If you're listening, you don't know what it is. It's produced by Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, we know, Marcia. We've done this already, Marcia, at the beginning of the podcast.
Good.
Right. Well. So that's that. Jack, do crack on with it. I mean,
I'll give it a go.
I'll say this: I am cracking on with Arrested Development on the recommendation of this podcast.
Yes.
I have almost finished The Good Wife, along with the rest of the world, on the recommendation of this podcast. Better Call Saul. I'm watching a lot of things, and I'm sticking with them. Matt is doing Better Call Saul because of that. Jack has been a trooper down the mineshaft. All we've got left is to find out from Jamie and Marsha what they are continuing to watch because of this podcast. Jamie.
I am going to continue watching Chuck at some point in the very near future.
Place your bets.
Oh, hold on a minute. I am watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine very slowly, but I'm watching
that.
Yes.
Excellent. Marsha? There we go. So, let's call it a day there. Next week, what should we do next week? What have we got on next week?
Treme was meant to be on the list, wasn't it?
Treme's going to be on the week after next. We will be doing Treme the week after next. If you're a big fan of that, get in touch with us. We'd like to hear from you because we've only got Adam, our internet department, is the only one who's watched it, which, you know, he's a very dull individual, Adam. So if you could join him to help, that'd be fantastic. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Next week, goodness me. Is anyone about to embark on something new? Is anyone willing to embark on something new?
Man-Seeking Woman.
Well, I will watch Man-Seeking Woman.
I do, yeah.
Marcia, if you continue The West Wing.
How many do I
have? Do what I suggested. Okay, just do what I suggested. Watch last.
Tell me again.
The last episode of series one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And if that gets you
enough.
Even
though I haven't seen any, even though I've only seen the first.
Yes, we discussed this last time. Pay attention.
Skip to the end.
Yeah, it'll prove to your brain that you don't need to be obsessive compulsive over following every tiny bit. It'll solve that problem, and it might make you want to start season two. So that'll work.
Okay, I've got a 13-hour train journey on Thursday, so I'm now committing to download it, and I will watch it.
Where are you travelling from to?
Travelling from Toronto to New York.
How exciting. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow, I'm sure you can drive that in about 7 hours, can't you?
It takes about 13 hours to drive.
Does it? Right, okay.
Train, yeah.
And I hereby state that I am against the phrase people of colour. I don't like it. I'm not going to use it.
Again,
and I want.
You have no authority. You don't get to pick, Cal.
What? I can pick whatever I goddamn like for myself.
Oh, fantastic.
See you, Matt.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. See you, Jamie. Bye. See you, Jack. Definitely. See you later. Marsha.
Bye, Jack.
Marsha, my point. Yeah. Marsha and I have just debated for a further half hour on the back of the pod. I've cut it all out, and we've come to terms with the fact that
I'm right.
Everybody is right, apart from those who are wrong, which might be me, but I forget it. See you next week. Thanks, Marsh. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bye.
All right, buddy.